Thank you for joining us for this week's message at Praise Chapel Paramount. We hope you enjoy this message from our midweek service with Jonathan Winter. Also, we'd love to hear what God has done in your life. To share your story, email us at info@pcparamount.org. Again, we hope you enjoy this message.
Good evening, church. Praise God. Well, it's a real privilege to be here this evening, and thank you, Pastor Omar, for inviting me. And, you know, I believe in God connections, amen. You know, nothing is by accident. And, you know, I thank God for this opportunity to be with you this evening, you know. And, you know, we give God all the praise and glory, amen. We give Him all the glory, because it's about Him at the end of the day, amen. And I can feel the presence of God in this place. The worship was tremendous, and when we were worshiping the Lord, I just felt the Lord would give me a word for the worship team, that the Lord is going to give you new songs. He's going to give you new songs, and those new songs are not just going to be songs that will come into your mind. They'll be songs that will be birthed in the Spirit of God, and it will release those songs. That will be released from the Spirit of God will release a greater anointing and presence of God in your services and upon you as a congregation, as a church. And I just sense that that presence, God wants you to carry His presence into the nations of the world. And there are some among you right now sitting here, and God has laid nations upon your heart, and He's going to send you out supernaturally. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Well, as you can gather by my accent, I feel like I'm in a cage in a zoo, if you know what I mean, you know. I'm very conscious of my accent right now. as I said earlier on, it's just great to be here in Southern Cal, and it was so great. The conference was good up in Richmond. I have to say, I do like the Bay Area, but I think Southern Cal is something more, you know, more beautiful. I like the weather here. After having spent 13 years in the Philippines, this weather is just right, you know. But as Pastor Omar just shared, my wife and I spent 13 years in the Philippines. My wife is actually from the Philippines. I did not go to the Philippines to find a wife. But I remember the Lord saying to me, I was in Hong Kong. I spent a year in Hong Kong, and an opportunity arose for me to go to the Philippines on short-term missions. And I remember the Lord speaking to my heart and saying, if you go, I will bless you. If you will just step out by faith. And the Lord blessed me with a beautiful wife. And we have two children, Joel and Hannah. And currently we live in Belfast, Northern Ireland. And, you know, we believe that God has called us to the nations. And God has given us a love for the nations and given us a love for the church. Amen. And you know, God has given us a love, or me, I should say, for the States. Yeah, amen. Never had a desire to come to the States, but, you know, God has His way, amen. And I believe, you know, despite what might be happening across the States, but something I believe, you know, that God is doing, He is raising up a remnant of people. Amen. A remnant of people in this nation that will seek God's face, that will pray and intercede for this nation. And I believe that there's going to be a fresh outpouring of God's Spirit upon on America. And there's going to be a fresh release of missions across this land and across the nations of the world as the remnant of the church rises up. Amen. And we spent 13 years in the Philippines doing cross-cultural missions, church planting, and working among an unreached tribal group in the north part of the Philippines. And we were involved in training Asian nationals to be involved in cross-cultural missions among unreached people groups. And then in 2013, we moved back to the UK. We didn't want to go back, but we had to go back. And we were unsure of really what we were going to do. And we just felt, you know, we were, you know, actually we went back to the UK feeling a bit disillusioned, feeling a bit downhearted, confused, to a point where we no longer wanted to be in the ministry. It wasn't that we were going to turn our backs on the Lord, okay? Nothing like that. But we were just so tired. And we just thought, that's it. We're not going to have anything to do with ministry again. We'll just go to church, be good, you know, churchgoers and that sort of thing. But then in 2015, the Lord, I had an encounter with the Lord. And it was actually back in the Philippines. And I was a part of a team that was involved in some crusades across the Philippines. And I was asked to speak one morning in the pastors and leaders meeting. And it was just another meeting for me. And I remember after I'd spoken, the local pastors and the pastors on the team called me up front and just started speaking into my life. And it was one of those moments which I wasn't even expecting. And we read in the Bible of a man, you know, Moses, in a similar situation where he was brought up in the house of Pharaoh, in the palace of Pharaoh, and he had everything that he ever needed. And we know that he was called by God to bring the children of Israel out of captivity, out of Egypt, and into the promised land. But we know that Moses made a mistake. We know that out of his anger, out of his zeal, he killed an Egyptian because he saw that Egyptian beating one of the children of Israel. And we know that in scripture that he then flees into the wilderness for 40 years. And just think, you know, Moses thinking, I've blown it. What could have been? And he just went about his daily life thinking, this is my lot in life. And that's actually how I felt when I went back to the UK. Wasn't too sure of what was going to happen until that moment where God put the call of God in my face, right in my face. And you will find that in your life, that if there's a call of God in your life, which there is, there's a call of God upon every person's life. Even the unsaved, there's a call of God upon their lives. Because every human being is created in the image and likeness of God. Amen. And when you are trying to flee from the call of God, God will have his way and he'll bring you back. God will have the last answer. He will have the last laugh. Amen. And we're going to read some passages in scripture in Exodus chapter 3 from verse 1 to 14, which is quite a lot. But I believe that this will set what God has put on my heart to share with you this evening. And I believe that there may be some of you here tonight, and maybe, you know, in the past, God has spoken to you about specific things. Maybe you've had dreams, you've had visions, and maybe you feel disheartened because they haven't come to pass. Maybe the visions or dreams that you've had have been broken. But I want to share with you this evening that God is restoring those dreams and visions. When I thought that the vision that God had put in my heart and my life was gone, and that was it. At the most unexpected moment, at an unexpected time, God brought it back into my eyes and into my focus. And I believe that God wants to do that for some of you this evening. Amen. Amen. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, starting verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Then he said, do not draw near to this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel have come to me, and I have also seen the oppression which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people to the children of Israel out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this will be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, they say to me, what is his name? What should I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. You know that God wants to be your I am this evening. He wants to be your I am in any situation that you may be facing. And we see Moses, he's just going about his ordinary day. He wasn't expecting anything out of the ordinary to happen. He was at the back of the desert, meaning he was obscured. He was totally in a place where nobody else was. And he comes across this bush, an insignificant bush, on fire, but yet not being consumed. You know, God will get our attention through ordinary things. Amen? Sometimes we expect the Damascus sort of experience. But oftentimes, it's just through everyday things or through everyday life that God will speak to us. And so God reaches out to Moses, speaks to Moses. And we know that Moses has spent 40 years in the wilderness. But if we look at even other characters in the Bible, we see that God called them, certain people, and spoke to them through ordinary circumstances and through everyday life. God called Gideon when he was threshing the grain. He called Abraham when Abraham was probably just going about his daily life. He called David when David was caring for the sheep in the fields. He called the apostles when they were going about their daily business. You see, some scholars think that, you know, maybe that, you know, why, you know, sort of ask this question, why God revealed himself to Moses in the desert? Why not when Moses was in the palace where there was people? But maybe God wanted to use that desert experience to show us that no matter where a person may be, God is there. No matter how far away a person may be from God, God is there. And no matter where you may be this evening in your walk with God, God is there. No matter what situation you may be facing, God is there. Because he is the I am. Amen. You see, God took an insignificant bush to get Moses' attention. And God set that bush of light on fire in order to get Moses' attention. God can take a hold of an insignificant life and turn it around for his glory. God can take a hold of your life and turn it around and set it on fire as a flaming torch. Amen. I don't know about you, but I remember growing up, and oftentimes I had, you know, I had low self-esteem. And I thought that I was insignificant. And I had that sort of mindset for much of my young life. But yet, you know something? God has created each and every one of us. And we're not insignificant. You are not insignificant. You may feel insignificant, but you know what? God is the one that uses insignificant people. See, the problem that we have sometimes, particularly in Western church, is we try to look the business. We try to look the image. You know, wear the brand clothing, the massive Bibles, or now the massive tablets. And we try to be impressive. But God is not impressed with us trying to be impressive. You see, Moses did not look impressive. Just imagine spending 40 years in the wilderness. You're not going to be walking around in designer clothing. You're going to look a mess. You're going to probably have beard, you know, and unshaven beard. But yet, God decides to reach out to him. Amen. But how will we respond to the call of God? How will you and I respond to the call of God? Amen. You see, Moses could have just walked on. He could have said, there's a bush on fire. Doesn't matter, I just carry on. And we can be like that with the presence of God. Where God is moving and we just walk on. There's like, it's nothing. You see, I believe that God doesn't want us to just get content with where we're at. You see, yes, we may be enjoying this level of God's presence, but there's so much more. Amen. There's so much more. So how does Moses respond to God? You see, how we respond to God is important. Moses makes excuses. Now, I don't know about you, but I know in my life, I've made many excuses. Why not? Why God can't use me? And that is, I think, an epidemic within Christian circles, where many of us are making excuses why God cannot use us. Oh, well, I made many mistakes in the past. I'm this, I'm that. I can't do this. I'm not good at that. God can never, ever use me again. But that is a lie of the enemy. God can use anyone who he desires to use. Amen? So the first excuse that Moses gives to God, he says, "Who am I?" Have you ever asked that? Have you ever asked God, "Who am I? How can you use me? I'm a failure. I've made many mistakes in the past, so how can you use me, God?" Moses struggled with his identity. And many of us, or many Christians, struggle with their identity. Many people in the world struggle with their identity. We see it in society all around, that people are struggling with their identity. You see, Moses struggled with his identity. He didn't feel qualified. He didn't feel qualified. He thought that God had chosen the wrong man. That's how I felt. I felt God had chosen the wrong person. And that's why in 2013 I thought, you know, might as well just leave the call of God. But then the conviction of the Holy Spirit is always there. The Holy Spirit will never let you off the hook. And we will see in a minute how God never let Moses off the hook, and he will not let you off the hook. Amen. But God responds by saying to Moses, it doesn't matter who you are, I am with you. You see, God assured Moses that he would be with him. And it's the same with us, that we need to trust what God is saying. And not just trust in what God is saying, but when God accepts and loves us, that we walk in that we experience that. Amen. He also says that, he said to Moses, you know, he reassured Moses, and God reassures us. Amen. The second excuse that Moses gave, he said, God, who are you? Just imagine that. He actually says to God, who are you? Have you ever said that to God? Who are you? Moses has the guts to say, who are you? Moses had felt a lack of intimacy with God. He was thinking, I don't really know God, so how can God use me? And I think there are times when we think that we need to reach, if we reach a certain level or a certain spirituality, that's a time when God can use us. But in Scripture, we don't see that. God doesn't wait for 20 years before he decides to use you. And so Moses was thinking, I don't really know you, Lord, so how can you use me? How can I represent you? But God says, I am who I am. I'm ever present. You see, we need to allow God to be I am in our lives. Because you see, when we are in a place of vulnerability, then God gets all the glory. That's when God can fill us afresh and fill us to overflowing, so that he gets the glory. Because it's not about us, it's about him. Amen. Because if it's about us, then we get the glory. And we are not called to get the glory. Amen. The third excuse that Moses gives to God. What if they don't listen? What if the children of Israel that are still in Egypt, what if they don't listen? Moses felt intimidated by the audience. He worried about people's reactions. I remember many years ago, I was asked to go to, it was some homeless shelter, and speak to a number of homeless people. And it was when I was pretty young in the Lord. And there was quite a few of them there. And I started to feel intimidated, because these were rough people. These were people that were on drugs. These were people that, some of them were probably in gangs. And I remember one of the staff sort of saying to me, you don't have to do it, but I want to encourage you. You can do it, because Christ is with you. And I stood up and I was shaking, and I just started to just speak from the heart about God's love. And I tell you, the presence of God filled that place. These hardened people were starting to cry. You see, we can feel intimidated by the audience that God may be calling us to. But this is what God said, responds to Moses. When I'm finished, they will listen. There he was referring to Pharaoh. You see, Pharaoh was a king. And maybe God is putting you into situations or positions where you're going in front of people that are very influential. Maybe God is putting you into situations or positions that you feel very uncomfortable in. They're the places that God wants you to be in, because then he can fill himself with you. He can fill you with himself. Amen. We need to be in the place of vulnerability. The problem is that we have professionalized Christianity. It's become a show. It's become about everything in man's strength and man's wisdom and man's way, you know, trying to professionalize everything. But when we are in a place of vulnerability, that's why revival has taken place in many in other countries, because it was people put themselves in a place of vulnerability. That's why the church in China grew. In the early 1950s, when China closed its doors to outside to the outside world and threw out the missionaries, the church in the West thought that was it. The Chinese church, it was young, and they thought that was it. By the late 1970s, when China did open its doors again to the outside world, people thought, what has happened to the early to the Chinese church? They were shocked that actually during the Cultural Revolution, when China was closed to the outside world, the church grew. They were in a place of vulnerability. You see, when the church is in a place of vulnerability, God can move by his spirit. Amen. And we should not be afraid of what's happening around the world. Or around us. Amen. So many people, you know, you may have heard of about Brexit, how the UK is leaving the European Union. And there's so many people are getting all uptight about the economy, about this, about that, you know, and these are Christians. But we need to be assured, if we're Christians, we know God, then God's in control. Amen. And we don't have to be afraid of what's happening around us. And so God says to Moses, When I'm finished with them, they will listen. We just have to place ourselves in a position where we will allow God to move in and through us. Amen. The fourth excuse that Moses gave, I've never been a good speaker. You see, Moses fretted about his speech. You see, he was afraid that he couldn't speak. When I was at school, I did not like standing up in front of class and giving a presentation. I didn't like it. I didn't like being in the public eye. I couldn't have stood in front of you here when I was in high school. You see, Moses was fretting about his speech. But God responds to Moses by saying, "Who made you? Who made your mouth? Who made you?" You see, there's a call of God upon each and every one of your lives this evening. And maybe some of you have been like me in the past and you try to run away from it. But God made you. He created you. Amen. And he wants to use you. One thing I've learned is that God is not looking for good speakers. He's looking for God speakers. People that speak his word. Amen. You see, God is not looking for the perfectionist message. He's just looking for a person that is willing. Lord, here am I. Use me. Amen. You see, actually, when we say that we can't do something, when God is calling us to do that thing, It is a form of false humility. We're basically saying, God, you're not big enough to be able to use me. And so many Christians are going around with that mentality. Lord, who am I? You can't use me. But I'm here this evening to tell you that God can use you. And if you are willing to just give yourself to him and say, Lord, here am I. Use me in whatever way you desire. Use me. He will use you, and you will see the miraculous in your life. You will see how God will move in your life and through your life by his spirit. Amen. And the fifth excuse that Moses gave, he basically said, God, you can find somebody else. Find somebody else. There used to be a saying, Lord, here am I, send him. When we do that, oh, let somebody else do it. And so he was comparing himself with others. And we do this. It's a human thing that we do. We compare ourselves with each other. Who's got the biggest Bible? who is more spiritual. We do it. People naturally just do it. You know, you drive up home from work and you see your next door neighbor got a nice car. You think, get the credit card out. Okay, I'm going to buy on finance a bigger car. And so we find ourselves comparing with each other, comparing ourselves to other people. We're not called to compare ourselves with each other. Because God created us uniquely. He created you uniquely. Amen? There have been times when, you know, I'll be honest with you, there have been times when I've been asked to speak at a conference or something, and I'm sitting down and the person that's before me is like, wow, really, you know, really powerful. And I'm thinking, I can't speak like that. And then you just see God show up. You see, we want to have a desire where God shows up. Amen. And I sense that here, that as a church, you want God. Amen. That you want his presence. You want him to move. And God will honor that. Amen. And so God says to God responds to Moses, okay, I'm going to let Aaron go with you, your brother. You see, God wasn't going to let Moses off the hook. How many times do we try and get off the hook? God is not going to let you off the hook. He's not going to let any of us off the hook because he wants to use us for his glory. Amen. Because God uses the foolish things of this world. If you say, well, I'm foolish, well, that's a good place to be because God uses the foolish things. Amen. If you look at the disciples that God chose, I mean, that Jesus chose. I mean, they were, some of them were rough. But Jesus picked them and chose them. Amen? We have to realize that God knows you and I better than we know ourselves. So who are we to dictate God? Who are we to dictate God? Amen? You know, at the conference on Saturday, I spoke about calling and about giftings. And, you know, every single Christian has a calling and gifting upon their lives. Amen? And every one of you in this room are called and chosen by God. God hasn't called you to be here at Praise Chapel to just sit down. It hasn't. If you think you can be part of this church and sit down, you're wrong, because the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you, and the Holy Spirit will continue to be on your case until you surrender to his will. Amen. You see, Moses couldn't get away from the call of God. And what am I trying to say this evening? Earlier on, I mentioned about how my wife and I were discouraged. And through just what I thought was an ordinary meeting, which wasn't, God was putting the call of God right in my face. He was saying, you can't get away from this. And I believe that there are some here this evening where God has chosen you and called you. And he has spoken to you. And you've tried to run away. And maybe tonight's the night when he's putting it back in your face and saying, you can't get away from this. Moses tried to get away from the responsibilities, but God wouldn't let him. And God will not let you and I off the hook. And the thing is, when we surrender to the things of God, when we surrender ourselves to God and we place ourselves in a place of vulnerability, God gets all the glory, amen. Because it's about him at the end of the day, amen. It's about him at the end of the day. You see, did I envision myself to be here this evening? No. When I flew from London, I thought, okay, I'm going to do that, and that. Being here this evening, I know, is a God thing. Yes. Meeting Pastor Omar last Friday evening was a God thing. And when Pastor Omar asked me, when he knew that I was coming down to LA, and he said, could I come here? I just felt the presence of God come. You see, God is doing a new thing in our midst. Amen. Where he's raising up a people. He's raising up a community of believers around the world. Where church is not going to be church as usual. Where he is raising up a remnant of people. A church where every believer is called, chosen, and released into their God-given destiny and purpose. Because that's the only way that we're going to reach the nations with the gospel. You see, all too often, particularly in the West, the focus is on the few. When it's never been about on the few, it's about on the masses. Amen. It's not about the few. I mean, I remember in Europe going to a conference, and you know, when I go to conferences, sometimes I like to look around. I like to sort of get a feel of the place, you know. And the praise and worship was going on, and halfway through the praise and worship, I see a door at the side open up, and all the leaders sort of walking in, you know, shaking people's hands. And I thought, that's not church. That's a show. Church is about God. Church is about the presence of God. The early church weren't in about who's this and who's that. Sadly, we have made Christianity like a celebrity thing. And you know, and it's about, oh, I know so and so, I know this person, I know that person. I remember once saying to a person, I know God. Hallelujah! Could I ask the praise and worship team to come up? And let's stand in the presence of the Lord.
Hey, thanks for listening to this week's message from Praise Chapel Paramount. If you want to stay connected, follow us online with Facebook and Instagram at PC Paramount, or visit our website at praisechapelparamount.com.